Welcome to Epiphany with communications evangelist Vanessa Denha-Garmo, encouraging listeners to connect, collaborate, and communicate with the faith community. Here's your host, Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
Well, good Saturday, everyone. I hope everyone is joining this Divine Mercy Sunday weekend. Tomorrow is Divine Mercy Sunday, and just wanted to remind you, we've had some guests on the last few weeks talking about a talk coming up tomorrow at St. Mary's Orchard Lake. Adora Ibrahim joined us, Eklas Bashi joined us, and the author of the book that is really the focus of the talk tomorrow, from Kathleen Beckman. Kathleen joined us as well here in Epiphany. And the book is A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies to Deliverance. And so that talk with Dora and Eklas is taking place tomorrow at St. Mary's Orchard Lake at 2 o'clock. So I just want to remind our listeners of that. Also tomorrow, Catherine Lanny's joining us from the Divine Mercy Center. They have a big announcement that came from the Archbishop Alan Vigneron from the Archdiocese of Detroit, and it's Divine Mercy Sunday open house at the Divine Mercy Center from 2 to 4. She's going to be joining us tomorrow on Epiphany to talk about that announcement and much more about the Divine Mercy Sunday. And then also joining us today here on Epiphany, we have several guests. Actually, coming up shortly will be Father Gira and Father Pelican talking about a new podcast, Men of the Heart podcast. Dr. Ken Howell is joining us. He's talking about the book Mystery of the Altar, Daily Meditation on the Eucharist. He co-authored the book with Joseph Crownwood. And then David Strupa is joining us, Director of Business Development at St. Paul Street Evangelization, sharing updates about their ministry and the Bonfire Men's Group. And then my dear friend Sean A.R., host of the podcast Right to be Catholic, which is produced by the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, ECRC. And he talks about the Eastern Rite. His podcast is really focused on the Eastern Rite within the Catholic Church, but he talks about many topics going on in the world today from a faith perspective. And again, it's called The Rite to be Catholic, R-I-T-E. So Sean is going to be joining us as well here on Epiphany. But I'm really excited to bring our first guest on here in Epiphany, both priests, Father Greg Gira and Father David Pelican, associate pastor of the Church of the Divine Child. And then Father Gira is the director of Office of Priestly Vocations with the Archdiocese of Detroit. And they have a new monthly podcast, Men of the Hearts. Fathers, how are you today? Thanks for joining us here on Epiphany.
Excellent. Thank you for having us on.
So
yes, it's good to be here.
It's great to have you on, and I'm interested in hearing about this new podcast. What inspired this new podcast?
Well, you know, we were looking at the vocation department and just looking at, you know, our communications and what we do, and it just really needed a facelift. So me, as being an artist, you know, wanted to have, you know, something a little bit different and a little bit cool and edgier, taking the old traditional stuff and mixing it with the new. And as we were kind of taking a look at the image, we were also taking a look at, all right, how do we connect with people? It doesn't seem like young people are on Facebook anymore. And the podcast was pitched to me, and I thought, well, this would be a good idea. We'd be able to reach another group of people. I think many people are used to sitting down for an hour-long podcast and listening to it instead of listening to music. So it just seemed like the right way to go.
So who's the intended audience?
The intended audience is for young men who are really considering a vocation to the priesthood, to hear whether or not God is calling them. For me, in my life, you know, what really had a big influence on me about saying yes to even just go to the seminary is that I would always go to lunch with my pastor. He would have the noon mass, and I'd like to sleep in. So I would sleep in as late as I can, have noon mass with him. He's from Europe, so he, you know, they always ate the big meal, and there was always people around the table. So there was always about five or six different priests. There were seminarians when they were off on break or something like that. So to sit around that table and to hear their stories, it just really connected with their stories and say, okay, that guy's funny, or that guy's being a jerk. I didn't know priests could be a jerk. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I could see myself like that person. And they would talk about, like, maybe a difficult anointing they had or something wonderful that happened at Mass or a homily, or and just talking about daily life things. And it just really brought the priesthood down to a level in which I could see myself being a part of that.
It's called The Men of the Heart. It's a new, it's a monthly podcast, Fathers, Father Guerra and Father Pelican. It's monthly.
Yes, it's a monthly podcast. It's Men of the Hearts because it's both the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I look at the vocation office nestled in the Sacred Heart Major Seminary as the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So we talk about having this devotion to the Immaculate Heart, which brings us to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ and hopefully brings men here to Sacred Heart Major Seminary. And then there's also kind of a theological significance. Father Pelican, you want to explain a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful name for a podcast on vocations. St. John Vianney, when he talks about the priesthood, he says the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. Mm. And so it's a really fitting name for a podcast on vocations, that it's men of the hearts, and that it's both Jesus and Mary's hearts, right? That the priest obviously has a special relationship with Jesus, but also I think with the Blessed Mother, there's a different relationship for a priest there. And, you know, there's a French priest, St. John Eudes. I don't know if that's how you say his last name or not. It's kind of French, and a lot of priests wonder how it's said, Eudes, something like that. But he talks about the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart and how they really just, they mirror each other in love and this close bond that united Jesus and Mary. And then he says that we should put our hearts right up there in between them, you know, to participate in that love. And I think that's a great image for me of what a priest should do, you know, what anyone should do, but in a special way, what a priest should do. So I think it's a great name for a podcast.
It is beautiful. And it kind of reminds me of the importance of discernment, you know. So how do we focus on the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart as we discern our vocations? And is that was the intention is for the podcast?
Yes.
Well, yeah, definitely. We definitely want to help men learn how to discern. And I think for any man who wants to discern the priesthood, I think the way to Jesus is through Mary. And the rosary is such a powerful, powerful tool and aid to help in that, because, you know, not only are we going to the heart of Mary, but we're thinking and pondering and wondering, as Mary did, the life of her son Jesus. And we recognize, you know, how Jesus was, how completely selfless he was, how he wanted to do the will of the Father. And these are all the main characteristics that make for a good priest. So, yeah, definitely to support that devotion to the Blessed Mother is so incredibly important to discernment.
Absolutely. And you know, just her attitude when she heard the message from the angel is like, that's the best response to any vocation, right? Be it done unto me according to your word. To be open to God's plan for your life. I think Mary models that in a very striking way.
You know, I've interviewed... Go ahead.
No, I was thinking about, like, on Good Friday and just what we just went through in this Easter week, and how beautiful it was that, you know, Jesus recognized that it wasn't about him, you know, and as he sat in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating drops of blood, he said, not my will, but your will. And you know, not only did Mary do that, but we see that Jesus does that as well, and these two hearts are something to model our lives after.
You know, I've interviewed many priests in my entire career as a reporter, not just on Catholic radio. And I've always heard so many priests tell me that when they felt God calling them to the priesthood, they were saying, no, God, I'm not ready for that, or no, that's not for me, or no, that I don't want that. And it took a lot of discernment for them to come to the place they realized this was the will of God. Can you share with us, each of you, your call to the priesthood, you know, your discernment process?
Sure. Father Pelican, why don't you start off?
Sure, absolutely. Well, this will be kind of the Cliff Notes edition, but I actually I started thinking about the priesthood when I was 10 years old.
Wow.
And when I was 10, I was very gung-ho. I was like, yeah, I want to be a priest, told my parents, and that was that, until I got to high school. And in high school, it was when I really started wrestling, like you mentioned. I found out priests don't get married, don't have a family. And I was like, no, God, that's not for me, you know? And so I really did fight that call, even though it was there. I tried my best to ignore it. I guess I just didn't believe that I could really be happy, giving up marriage and a family. And so for a while I did. I pushed God out of the way and his voice. Eventually on a silent retreat, though, he spoke to me in a very powerful way. And I was able to say, all right, Lord, I'll give you a year in seminary. And that was all he needed. So.
How about you?
It's strange. Yeah, it's strange for me. I mean, I might have thought about it once when I was 10 years old, and it was in church. We never missed Mass. We always went to Mass. And I just remember being so incredibly bored by what the priest was saying. And I just thought, if I was the priest, I would make it so incredibly interesting. I would be running up and down the aisle screaming, wake up! Of course, I've never done that. I've done some other crazy things in my homilies, but I never did that. But that was my first, I think, thought of it. But then I never thought about it, really, until later in my earlier 20s. You know, I had a little bit a different story than Father Pelican did. I had a little bit more of a rebel in me, and I sort of kind of was away from God. I never left God, and I know God never left me, but I was looking for happiness in a lot of wrong places, and I realized at one point in my life that all the problems and all the sufferings that I have taken on were all because of my choices. And when I gave myself back over to the Lord, a lot of that pain and a lot of that suffering just went away, and then that leaves room for the pain and suffering that the Lord does want you to go through. But there's a grace that comes along with that, because he's the one who supports us. It's, you know, it's through his blood, it's through his Eucharist that he gives us that grace. So for me, after I kind of changed my life around with God's help and a lot of my spiritual mothers, I call them, over 15 ladies who pray for me daily in a prayer group that has been praying since I was the wayward son. That grace has really helped me along. And as I was looking into applying for graduate school for fine arts, I went away to a little small flat in Hamtramck, decided I'm just going to make artwork. I didn't bring a TV. The internet wasn't that popular yet. Smartphones weren't around. And I just started making art and praying a lot and reading holy books, and it was like a year of silence with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me in that silence, and I said, well, you know, if God wants me here in Detroit, then I'll apply to Sacred Heart, and I got in.
You know, to your point about homilies, though, I call my husband a homily snob. And because he has, if he goes to a Mass and the homily is not inspiring, he doesn't want to go back. And I said, you know, you get up there and you preach for 20 minutes and see, you know, how challenging that can be, you know, unless you've been in. And I do a lot of public speaking, so I don't do homilies, obviously, but I know how challenging that can be. What inspires both of you when you are contemplating the homily for that week and really kind of thinking about the readings, and what inspires you as you're writing your homilies?
Sure, Father Pelican, you want to start?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's different things, different weeks. I usually start with the scriptures and just kind of sit before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? You know, because like Father Craig said earlier, it's not about me. It's not about us. And so just asking the Lord, like, what do you want to say, Lord? I think practically speaking, a lot of homilies develop also just from conversations I've had with people. You know, and you hear what they're going through, and you're like, you realize, oh, a lot of people are going through this. Let me just talk, and you know, maybe the Lord wants to say something into this type of situation or something like that. So it comes from a lot of different areas, but I think the best times are those times of quiet where you're just sitting before the Lord with the scriptures, saying, you know, God, what do you want to say to your people?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it starts off with prayer, of course. I mean, you need to spend time with the scripture. You need to spend time, especially before the Lord in the tabernacle, and just really allowing the Lord to talk to you. But for me, what really gets me going after that is I want to tell a story. I think stories are so incredibly powerful because the person listening to the story can place themselves within that story. And it becomes this lived and shared experience between both the pastor and the parishioner with the gospel, with a particular story that everybody shares. And so, like, I remember giving a homily about my bike being stolen, and, you know, everybody after the Mass was about, oh, I remember when my bike was stolen, or I remember my first bike. And,
sure.
And at first I thought, well, you know, you're missing the point. It's not about the bike. But then I realized, no, you know, they're sharing something with you at this moment. And when they think about their bike, now they're going to be thinking about that gospel passage, about
sure.
what God wanted to talk about in that
sure.
specific moment. And I think that's what makes it interesting, and it engages people, than just kind of telling some facts about, well, this is what Jesus did at this time, and this is what it means for our life, you know, instead of let's enter into this relationship, because it is a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you're definitely onto something, Father, because research, I come from a communications background and I do public speaking all the time. Research shows that people will remember the story before the point you're trying to make, but it is the story that helps them remember the point. So
yeah.
They'll go back to the story and say, oh yeah, that's the point Father was making in that homily. So yeah, it's very powerful. Stories are very powerful, and I think that's such a wonderful message our listeners here in Epiphany. And speaking of the stories that you're sharing on your own podcast, this new podcast, Men of the Hearts, how can we hear this podcast? Where can it be heard? Is it on the AOD website? Where can we find it?
Yeah, you can go to our website at DetroitPriestlyVocations.com, or you can go to wherever you find podcasts. It's just type in Men of the Hearts and it will be there.
And then is it, you're doing it monthly, correctly? Correct?
Correct.
It's monthly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have two episodes out right now, and hopefully a new one will be coming out in a week or two.
So tell us the content you're sharing in terms of, I know it's focused on men in the priesthood and that particular vocation, but are you bringing on different guests, or, you know, tell us a little bit about the format and the content.
Yeah, so we wanted to keep it really loose. Again, it was meant to be like we're sitting around a dinner table with a bunch of priests, and you just kind of get to be a part of the conversation. So it's been really informal. I think, you know, Father Pelican and I just talk about, like, what's going on in our lives at the beginning. We like to do a little spot about what Father Pelican bought for the house at Costco. So that starts it off a little bit.
Love that story.
You go in there with the intent of spending $50, you leave with $300 later, but that's a whole other story.
Such good deals, though, you know?
Yeah,
such good deals.
And great snacks.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so we do that, and then I think the first episode we just talked a little bit about our vocation story so people could get to know us a little bit. The second episode we did, again, very loose, but then we talked about signs and the right way to receive signs and maybe the wrong way to receive signs. What's the difference between tempting God to show us a way rather than accepting in humility like the Blessed Mother did? And then we're having our first guest on the third podcast, which is a very special guest, so hopefully people will tune in to hear that one.
Mm. So, I'm going to ask you each this because I like to ask our guests about their own epiphany moments here on Epiphany, on your faith journey. And many of us have many epiphany moments, and sometimes they're really small aha moments, and sometimes they're really profound. And you both talked about your vocations, but what other epiphany moments might you be able to share with our listeners about your faith journey, something, you know, their aha moment on your faith journey?
For me, I remember very vividly, it was a Christmas time, and it was still when I was somewhat of a wayward child, and strangely enough, we were at a party on Christmas Day with all of our friends, and you know, I was watching the music channel, and a video came on, and the lyrics really spoke to me, and it was all about bringing on your own pain and your own suffering, and it was as God spoke to me in that moment and said, you're doing this to yourself, stop it, and I can give you more. And it was a beautiful gift. And I remember at that particular time, it really made me think. But then, like, a day later or so, I got so incredibly sick. And it was like the Lord was just doing surgery on me. It's like I remember it hurt. I was sick. But at the same time, I felt the hand of God on me. And it was like as if he was rewiring my brain or rewiring my heart. And it just everything was different from that moment on. And it was like, you know, I have new life. And God's gift is such a wonderful gift, and I just want to praise him. I put that on the back of my holy card for ordination. You know, I will praise you the rest of my life because of just the wonderful gift he's given us in his life.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. How about you, Father?
This is an epiphany moment happened to me back in the spring, but I remembered it again recently over Holy Week. As you might know, I'm a newly ordained priest, was ordained this past June. So it's been a lot of firsts. This past week was a lot of firsts. But I remembered my first time hearing confessions. And just sitting there, seeing God's mercy in action. And I remember thinking, like, I'm a priest. You know, and it was the first time it hit me as I was sitting there that I really felt like, yeah, I'm a priest. You know, I'm saying these words, and this person's sins are gone. And if I did that a week before, nothing would have happened. I could have said the same words. And so that was the first time I really felt like a priest. Mm. And it was a bit of an epiphany moment, and just a great grace from God to really just kind of step into it. Nothing quite prepares you for it, but just to step into that and see God's mercy at work, you know, through your words.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, with that note, with that thought about, wow, aha, I'm a priest, what do you each love about your vocation? What do you, you know, as you tie into your podcast, reaching this target audience of men, thinking about the priesthood, what do you both love about being priests?
Well, there's a couple things for me. Of course, saying Holy Mass and having the Eucharist is such an amazing thing. I love preaching as well, and I love hearing confessions and offering God's mercy, knowing that it's a gift to His people. But also, you know what I really enjoy? I'm an introvert, and I'm not very kind of a chit-chatty kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And as a priest, you know, you kind of skip all of that, you know. Someone wants to talk to you, hey, Father, I need to talk to you. And then they come to your office or they pull you aside and you start talking about what matters the most in their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's such a humbling experience that people will let down their guard and let you enter in because they trust you as a man of God, as God's representative. And it's something that should never be taken lightly, and it's such a special gift that it just amazes me that I get to be in people's lives in that way, and I'm so thankful for it every single day.
Yeah, that's beautiful. How about you, Father?
Oh, you know, there's so much to love about the priesthood. One of the things that I really do love about this vocation is that it is truly an adventure. You never quite know what the day's going to bring, but it's an adventure following Jesus, and you get to see His grace, His love at work in other people's lives, in a very privileged way, in a way that I don't think I would see any other, you know, in any other vocation, really.
Mm-hmm. What I think is really cool about the podcast, Men of the Hearts, which they're on their third episode, where they're bringing on a guest, is that it's a brotherhood like no other. You know, you guys are in a brotherhood that really, unless you're in that brotherhood, nobody else can really know what that is like to be a priest and share what you guys share. So I think it's really cool that you're reaching out to other men who could be part of this brotherhood.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what a lot of people are longing for these days. I mean, if you're called to be a priest, then you're longing to be a part of that brotherhood, as you said. I know for me, what was really, really impactful and powerful at the ordination mass is, you know, just for me, my whole life, while I do have some really, really good friends, there was always this wanting to belong to something, wanting to belong to a specific group, or wanting to belong to just to know that I'm a part of something. And it was at that moment that after the Archbishop laid his hands on my head, then all of the concelebrating priests laid their hands on my head. And I almost broke down because it was like I finally felt the sense of I belong. And it was just amazing, amazing moment. So, I think there are many men who are longing for that. And if they're called to the priesthood, then that's only going to be satisfied through the gift of the priesthood.
No. That's beautiful. We have a couple minutes left with both of you here, Father Pelican and Father Guerra. We're talking about their new podcast. They're on their third episode, Men of the Hearts. It's on all podcast platforms. You can also go to their website. What else do you want to share with our listeners here in Epiphany before we let you go, Father Pelican, Father Guerra?
Yeah, just, you know, it's divine mercy, and God's mercy is great, and there's absolutely nothing that anybody could ever do to make God hate them, and there is nothing that we can actually do to make God love us. God already loves us with an infinite love. Know that you are loved. Know that you are a child of God. And just as when Jesus was baptized and came out of the water, and God said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased," when we were baptized and we came out of the water, God said that about you as well. Don't ever, ever, ever let anybody tell you you're worthless or no good. Know that you are loved by God.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Amen.
All right. Want to add to that, Father?
Just a big amen to that. And, I mean, God's created you with the unique and unrepeatable purpose. And if you follow that, you will never be disappointed. It may not be easy, but it will be incredibly fulfilling. So it's an adventure, and it's one worth embarking on.
Well, thank you both for joining us here in Epiphany and sharing the story about your new podcast, Men of the Hearts, on all podcast platforms. We appreciate it, Father Guerra and Father Pelican, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Thank you so much. They are the co-hosts of the new podcast, Men of the Hearts, Father Craig Guerra, Father David Pelican. You can hear that podcast on all podcast platforms. You can re-listen to the interview of them right here on Epiphany. If you go to AveMariaRadio.net, you can go to our archive section and hear any of our past interviews and share them with your friends and family. We have great show lineups all the time, thanks to Melissa and Dan, who put on a wonderful show here on Epiphany. And a great show lineup on tomorrow on Divine Mercy Sunday. Really excited to have Catherine Lanny on, founders of the Divine Mercy Center. Lisa Puff is joining us. She talks about her son, Derek's suicide attempt, and God's mercy on him. And we share many other Epiphany moments. We've asked our guests throughout the inception of this show to share Epiphany moments like you just heard from the two priests here. And we'll share many more tomorrow. If you've missed them, they're great recaps of Epiphany moments right here on Epiphany. Again, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net to get an archive of all the programs here on the radio station, and use these archives to evangelize the faith by sharing the different interviews that really inspire you with your friends and family on social media. Text them, email them, whatever you do to correspond with them. Encourage them to listen to the programs right here on Ave Maria Radio. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation on Epiphany right here after the break. In the book, Mystery of the Altar, Daily Meditations on the Eucharist, Dr. Kenneth Howell and Joseph Crownwood have brought together voices of the saints and holy teachers to demonstrate the unwavering faith of the Church and the real presence of Christ. The book will be available through Ave Maria Radio online bookstore. And joining us now to talk about the book is Kenneth Howell, Director of Academic Research of the Eucharist Project and President of the Pontifical Studies Foundation. How are you, Dr. Howell?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
So, pleasure to talk with you. And so tell us what inspired you and Joseph Crownwood to write this book.
Well, I think I had kind of an epiphany moment a number of years ago when I realized that the Eucharist was essential for my own salvation. I grew up a Protestant. I was a Protestant minister for 18 years. And I taught in a seminary, and it was during that time that I began reading about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And as I did, I started going to Mass, and after about 6 months or 9 months of attending Mass regularly, I had this, I would say, revelation from God that the Eucharist truly was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And so that from that moment on, I realized that I would have to become Catholic. And so about 3 or 4 years later, I did. I was received into the church in 1996. And then I was involved in various academic kind of pursuits at the time, which weren't directly related to the Eucharist. But then around 2002, I had sort of another moment where I realized this is what I want to dedicate the rest of my life to. It still took me 10-plus years to get to the place where I could do that. But then as I was translating the Church Fathers from Greek and Latin. And in that process, I met Joseph Cronwood, and we realized that we were working on very similar things, except he was working on more modern writers. I was working on more ancient and medieval writers. And we decided to put our efforts together, and God helped us to bring this book about. So that's what we're giving to the people of God now, so that they can enjoy and profit from the great teachings of great holy men and women of the past about the Eucharist.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Howell. What is your thought about the recent report that came out last year about many Catholics who don't believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and they say it's just symbolic?
Well, you know, I think people suffer from a very poor formation within the church. They haven't been taught exactly what the Eucharist is. But then that's also reinforced by the culture in which we live,
yeah.
In which we divide the world into kind of secular and spiritual. And the secular or the physical is more real than the spiritual. And so things that are in the spiritual are just in our minds. They're not really out there in reality. And so the idea that something could be non-physical, non-visible, but very real, like God, is a little bit strange to people. They sort of think of it as if you're Catholic, you have this belief, but they don't connect it with anything in reality. And so that's why they say that. And anything that is not physical is mental to them,
mm-hmm.
and therefore
mm-hmm.
and therefore less real. And so, you know, that I think that that's part of the explanation for their lack of faith in Christ's presence in the Eucharist. And then, and again, that's part of the reason that we wrote the book, is to show them that this great stream of tradition has come down through the ages, and now is being, we're the recipients of this wonderful gift, not just of the doctrine, but of the reality that Christ really is underneath the appearances of bread and wine. He gives himself to us, his sacred humanity.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Howell, you mentioned your, epiphany moment, which is wonderful. Would you say that truly inspired your conversion to Catholicism?
You mean the realization about the Eucharist?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. There's mm-hmm. no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
As I began to study more, I began to realize that Jesus' words in John chapter 6, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life," were to be meant very seriously, very realistically. And so when he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you,"
mm-hmm.
I realized that if I wanted to have eternal life, I had to have Jesus, not just in a mental sense that I believed as a Protestant, but I had to have the actual humanity of Jesus. And so mm-hmm. how did I get that? Well, I got that when he said, "This is my body, this is my blood."
Mm-hmm. And why is that so misinterpreted then? I mean, it seems very clear to me, clear to you, when you read that scripture verse, when Jesus said that to the apostles at the Last Supper. Why is that misinterpreted then by so many people who don't see the real presence just in that scripture verse alone?
I think, again, it's because of our cultural baggage that we have a tendency to think that scriptural metaphors are talking about something that's not real.
Mm.
But metaphors are not signs or extensions of language about something that's not real. It's talking about something that is real. And so when Jesus says, "I'm the true vine," It doesn't mean that he's a physical vine, but what it means is just in the same way that vine gives life to the grapes, which makes wine, so he is the vital force which gives life to us, to our souls, so that we can live eternally.
Hmm. Who, Dr. Howell, when you were writing the book with your co-author, who were you intending the audience to be?
Good. Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's kind of in concentric circles. Excuse me. The first target was I wanted to get this in the hands of every English-speaking priest in the world.
Mm.
And mainly because I want this to nurture their own faith in their ministry at the altar. The more that they believe in and are nourished by, both mentally by these words of the great saints and by the Eucharist itself, the more they will be able to celebrate the sacrament with reverence and with joy and with all of the human emotions which can convey their own faith. I think next would be, vowed religious people in convents and in ministries and so forth. I'd like them to understand this so that they can be united around the altar. But then, obviously, beyond that, all the lay faithful. And there's so many millions of people around the world that engage in Eucharistic adoration in all the chapels around the world. It would be wonderful to have them, to have this book, to see that when they're adoring Christ in the Eucharist, they're doing something that the great saints have done since, the second century.
Mm-hmm.
This book, by the way, has readings from the second century all the way up to the 21st century. In every century of the church, there have been great saints and teachers that have shared these thoughts with us so that we can benefit from that today.
Mm-hmm. You know, that leads me, and what a great point to make, too, and that leads me into my next question about adoration, what I want to ask you of the importance of adoration and what it does to us as faithful Christians and Catholics, and for those who have never been to adoration, what would you say to them?
Well, I think that adoration is a natural extension of love of Jesus in the Eucharist. So it's hard for people to even think of adoration as being meaningful unless they already love Christ in the Eucharist. Now, if they're going to church out of a sense of just duty and obligation, then they probably have never developed a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, if they have that personal relationship with Jesus, then they're going to want to spend time with him. And what's the best way to do that? It's to be with him in adoration. Now, we can have spiritual communion, which has been kind of foisted on us because of this COVID pandemic that we've been in.
Yeah.
But as we're drawing to the end of this, and for example, in my own parish, we just restored the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. So I'm hoping, and many others in our area are hoping, to get back to adoring the Lord. And the way that I see this in our lives is that in the same way that there's nothing that can substitute for being in the physical presence of other people whom we love, husbands and wives and parents and children, there's something more that takes place than just the words that we speak to one another. In the same way, being in the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, there's kind of an osmosis that takes place where his grace, his mercy, his love, his spiritual power infects us, so to speak. It's infused into us. And we become different people by spending time in his presence. So if people need conversion, like I do, I need to be there in his presence. If I need to be reassured of his love, I need to be there in his presence. And it's the same way for all of us. So Jesus invites us to adore him in the Eucharist so that we can be healed, so that we can go forth with strength and power to do the work that he's asked us to do.
So, Dr. Howell, I mentioned that the book is available at the Ave Maria online bookstore. Where else can we get the book?
Well, it's published by Emmaus Road Press. That's associated with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology that, you know, our friend Scott Hahn has founded. But it can be bought there, and I'm so glad that you're selling it through there. I think it's also at EWTN, but anywhere that they get it. And, of course, it's available on Amazon, too, but I encourage people to go directly to the publisher or to other Catholic outlets like Ave Maria Radio to get it.
Yeah, amen to that. Thank you so much for that. And what else do you want to share with our listeners about the mystery of the altar, daily meditations on the Eucharist, Dr. Kenneth Howell, before we let you go here in Epiphany? What else do you want to share with us?
Well, I'd like to share this simple truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, left heaven to become a man, to take upon himself human nature. And it's through that human nature that he conveys his divine life to us. But how do we get that today? He was once on earth. He's no longer here. Or is he? Is he perhaps with us in the Eucharist? We receive his sacred humanity through the Eucharist. And through that sacred humanity, we receive his divine life. Without that divine life, we will never make it to heaven. So the Eucharist is essential to our salvation. And so the beauty of the Eucharist is that God is drawing us into his own life so that we can be with him forever.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Kenneth Howell, for joining us here in Epiphany and sharing this book with us.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Again, the book is Mystery of the Altar, Daily Meditations on the Eucharist by Dr. Kenneth Howell and Joseph Crownwood. We will have it at the Ave Maria Radio online bookstore and also on EWTN bookstore. So get it there when you get a chance. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue this conversation here on Epiphany after the break. Dave Strupa is joining us again. He's the Director of Business Development for St. Paul Street Evangelization Institute in Warren. David, thanks for joining us again here on Epiphany.
Hi, Vanessa. I've been praying for you and your listeners and the success of your radio show.
Aw, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And we'll, of course, keep all the work that you're doing in St. Paul Street Evangelization in our prayers as well. And, you know, I wanted you to reconnect and share with us again the work that you're doing and give us an overview, and then we'll get into the Bonfire Men's Catholic Group as well. But give our listeners an overview again of St. Paul Street Evangelization and the work that you're doing.
Right. SPSC, St. Paul Street Evangelization. We want to help people partner with God for the salvation of souls through proclaiming the gospel in the public square. I would encourage your listeners to call me at 734-678-7280 and visit our website at streetevangelization.com. There we provide a library of evangelization training courses, downloadable materials, 800-plus Catholic books, printable pamphlets and tracts, Catholic music, evangelization team resources, and more, because evangelization in the public square is what we are called to do. To work with God for the conversion of the world, for Jesus Christ and his church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states lay people also fulfill their prophetic mission by evangelization, that is, proclamation of Christ by the word and the testimony of life.
So, David, for people who feel a little intimidated by the word evangelization or street evangelization or in the public square, what would you say to them?
Yeah, you know, best advice anyone's ever given me was my good friend, Father Adam, and he told me that when you have a conversation, you normally talk about the things that you love, right? So the people that love Jesus Christ and they're out in the streets talking to evangelize to people, you love Jesus Christ, that topic's going to come up, right? So our goal at SPSC is not to win arguments. Our goal is to share the love of Jesus Christ with the hurting culture, right? We are all responsible for announcing the gospel. And you don't have to be an expert in the faith to do it. Our evangelists basically just, they share the hope that is in them. They present the truth of the Catholic faith, the teachings of the Catholic Church as defined by the catechisms, and then they defend the faith. I would say that evangelization is best for those that want to spread the love of Christ throughout the world. And, you know, we have right now 240 registered street teams in the U.S., Canada, 9 other countries. And these people were just as shy as the next person. And they're out there doing it. And it's been so rewarding for them and for us.
You know, I love that, too. And are you talking about the amazing Father Adam Maher we've had on the show before?
Absolutely, yes. He is
love him.
Awesome, yes.
Yeah, is he not? He's great. Love him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, too. Let's get into the Bonfires Men's Group. What is that all about? You're the president of that.
Right, so I was talking with a priest friend of mine, and his name is Father Paul from Virginia, and I just had a sense that there were so many people that are hungry for more, and they really didn't know how to pray. And I shared with him, I said, what do you think about that? And he's like, absolutely. I didn't know how to pray until I was in seminary. And he thought it was a great idea. He agreed to become our spiritual director for Bonfire. We didn't have the name at the time. And then in June, we launched Bonfire Catholic Men's Group. We meet on the last Wednesday at Holy Spirit Church in Brighton. We start at 6 p.m. We have confession available, adoration, rosary, prayer, scripture reflection. And my favorite part is we have someone lead us into an activation of silence, and it's something remarkable when you see 40-plus guys sitting in silence listening to the Lord.
You know, I think it's so beautiful and so wonderful, too, because, you know, like women, we, you know, I think we need a sisterhood just like men need that brotherhood. And, you know, it doesn't mean you don't love your spouse or your siblings who are of the opposite sex or your mom or your dad. It's just that you bond with women in a way that you don't with your husband and the men in your life, and you bond with men as men that you don't with your wife and the women in your life. I think it's so important that we each have this group of people that we can connect with, especially when it comes to our faith.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, some men just won't open up if there's females in the room, and some would, but we want to make sure that we're getting to the heart of the men. One thing I did mention is that we have live music. We have an amazing music team, and to see the men come alive, maybe in a little different way than if their wife was there. They sing maybe a little louder, or they raise their hands, you know. So they may get a little more into it, maybe, because, you know, it's just men.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. What are some of the issues, David, that you could share with our listeners that men are facing today in the world? Is there any top five issues or top three issues that are being addressed in this ministry?
Yeah, you know, really, it's priority of their time. It seems like they're so busy with work and activities with the family. What we find, a lot of men tell us that they don't make time. They have a hard time making time for the Lord. And we really want to establish that, you know, the most important time of the day is that time spent listening and waiting for the Lord to speak to you and to let him love on you in an intimate way that you can grow in relationship. that's really what we encourage men to do, is really read Scripture, reflect on that Scripture, offer up your vocal prayers, and really just give the Lord your heart. Unite your heart and mind to God's written word in the Scripture reflection. And in silence, we open our eyes and our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the Lord to listen to that still small voice. And we see a lot of men that are they're sort of moving themselves along. They tell us that they do spend more time in prayer and especially in silence.
Hmm. So how has COVID affected St. Paul Street evangelization this past year, and how will it move past that in 2021?
Yeah, so we are definitely having some teams that are on the sidelines waiting, right? And then we have others that have courageously showed up and have been successfully proclaiming the gospel. Today we have a team that will be going to Garden City at a fish fry. We recently had a team go into the streets of Birmingham, and they were able to evangelize with around 15 different people. We had a team a couple days ago hit the Pope Francis Center in Detroit, and they evangelized around 100 homeless men and women. And then I just got a message today from a team that witnessed at a Walmart. They gave out a miraculous medal, and that led to a conversation. And the team asked if she would like prayer. She was a Catholic person who was pretty active, and she said she had some pain in her neck, and they prayed for healing, and the pain went away, and she was able to move her neck in ways that she hadn't before. So that's what's going to get everyone moving again, is those success stories, all the testimonies that we have. I expect 2021 to look a little bit like 2020, but eventually we're going to come out of this, and I think people are going to be more relatable. They're going to want to have discussions with other people. So very hopeful that our teams will be effective. In fact, if you don't mind, I'll share with you, we have, it's at 240 street teams, and one of those teams has 80 people on it. So we're talking about a lot of people that are doing this. And we encourage people to go to the website, streetevangelization.com, and look into what it takes to be an evangelist. Yeah. We have all kinds of resources on there, as I mentioned.
And to your point earlier, Dave Strupa, we're all called to evangelize the faith. We may not know how, and that's why you exist, because you're teaching them at St. Paul Street Evangelization how to do that.
Yes. One of the things I'm excited about is our School of Evangelization. You can access that at evangelizationschool.com. We are releasing new courses all the time. I'm excited about an upcoming release called Healing and Evangelization. This is based on the book Ordinary Christians and Extraordinary Signs by our founder, Steve Dawson, and our vice president of programs, Mark J. Hornbacher. This course addresses the role of gifts of miraculous healing in the work of evangelization. And it's going to be a hit. And if people want to, your listeners want to reach out to me again at 734-678-7280, I might be able to get them a free copy of that book.
Great. Dave Strupa, thank you so much. Annie, we got about a minute or so left with you here on Epiphany. What last words do you want to share with our listeners?
Well, again, just don't be afraid to mention your best friend, Jesus Christ, to those that you honor. Be a beacon of light, of hope. And if you're in the local area, come to Holy Spirit Church in Brighton. Visit us at Bonfire if you're a man, and we'll share an evening of the Lord in hopefully maybe some new ways.
David Strupa, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany, Director of Business Development of St. Paul Street Evangelization Institute in Warren, Michigan. Thank you so much.
God bless you and your listeners.
Thank you. God bless you and all the work that you're doing in helping others, teaching them how to evangelize the faith. And I really encourage you, our listeners here in Epiphany, we are all called to evangelize the faith. And upon baptism, we're blessed by the Holy Spirit with different charisms to do just that. And they have a wonderful institute at St. Paul Street Evangelization to teach you how to do that, wonderful classes, and maybe take a friend along. And if you're a man in our listening area, a man on our show listening, you might want to join the Bonfires Men's Group. And I think it's wonderful that there are these men's ministry out there to create this brotherhood, because they're just as important as the sisterhoods that are needed out in this world today. We all need to be brothers and sisters in Christ and help each other out on our faith journey. So the work that they're doing is so important. And keep them, David Strupa and their whole team at St. Paul's Street Evangelization, in your daily prayers, and think about reaching out to them and seeing what you can do to evangelize the faith, because we are all called to do that. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation right here on Epiphany right after the break. By the acronym JOY, Jesus First, Others Second, and Yourself Last. My next guest, Sean Ayar, is a follower of Christ, a husband and a father to three beautiful children. He's the host of the podcast, The Right to Be Catholic. That's RITE, produced by ECRC. Sean, how are you today?
Vanessa, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's always great to talk with you, and I've had the pleasure of working on your podcast. It's a fun podcast. So tell us what inspired this podcast for you, The Right to Be Catholic.
Yeah, so, you know, I was listening to podcasts for a while before I started the actual Right to Be Catholic podcast, and, you know, I love the topic that they were talking about, but none of them actually focused on anything to do with, like, the Eastern Rite, which is what I'm part of. I'm part of the Chaldean Rite of the Catholic faith, of course, and, you know, all the negativity in the world that was going around during that time, you know, this is about 16 episodes ago, so I do once in a while, so 16 months ago, and I was sitting there and I said to myself, you know, we don't have a podcast with the Eastern Rite, and with all this negativity, I wanted a platform where I can voice, you know, what I was feeling, what I was thinking in a positive light, instead of always sharing everything negative and negative. So that's why I approached ECRC and said, hey, let's do a podcast, and, you know, the rest is history.
What have you experienced so far in this podcast, The Right to Be Catholic, RITE, and sharing the Eastern Rite with a broader audience?
You know, I've had a lot of listeners come up to me that I don't even know who they are, saying, you know, thank you for doing this. I've learned so much about, you know, our Eastern Rite faith. You know, just little things that they would do as, like, just routine or a part of the tradition, not knowing the why behind it. And, you know, I like to, you know, throw a little tidbit here and there whenever we're talking about each topic and say how either it relates to the Eastern Rite or what we do different in ours compared to other rites. And I'm not going to lie to you, I've had a lot of good response from that.
And what are some of the topics you've taken on? Share with our listeners some of the guests you've had on, the topics you've taken on.
Oh, wow. So, I've done a lot of, you know, controversial topics. I've done a lot of just topics that people, you know, in our Catholic faith, like, they face every single day. For example, marriage, talked about depression. We talked about just different things that, you know, we encounter. My most recent podcast, which is actually just aired April 5th, and it was called Catholicism, Spiritual or Cultural, and where we talk about, you know, nowadays, do people consider Catholicism to be something that's just a part of their life, or is it something that they just talk about and say, yeah, I do this, so that considers me Catholic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so when you take on these issues and the guests participate, like, what are some of the issues that have come up and the feedback from the listeners? I know you've gotten the listenership is growing, and you're getting feedback from listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, I have listeners call me all the time and say, hey, you know, would you mind talking about this topic or, you know, whatever it may be. I've had a listener one time say, hey, you know, I'm having issues with my marriage. You have a topic on marriage, and what I did after that, I contacted ECRC, and they have a wonderful marriage class, you know, marriage prep classes, and I had two of the volunteers from the marriage prep come on and just talk about their marriage. I actually had my wife come on that one and we talked about our marriage and just different things that we as Catholics can do to strengthen our marriage. She actually thanked me for that afterwards. I had one person talk about, you know, hey, I don't know anything about the Chaldean Rite, and I'm Chaldean. And I had one of our Chaldean priests come on, and we did a whole segment on, or a whole episode on just the Chaldean Rite, just different things that we do in our rite that are different than the other rites. Not that one is right or wrong, but just the different things that we do.
What have you learned about our own Chaldean Rite, Sean? Have you learned new things during the process of this podcast about the rite that you didn't even know about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, listen, we're constantly learning. If you consider yourself knowing everything, then you were wrong. You know, there's only one perfect man, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I have learned that, you know, just the different terminologies or things that we do throughout our Mass. For example, we have a prayer in our Chaldean Rite called the Lahu Maran. And it's a praise, of praising to Jesus Christ or to God. But, you know, it's a very, very ancient prayer. And we even say in our Chaldean Rite, during Easter, when we do this prayer called Awake, and we talk about how, you know, we call on Adam to awake and Abraham and all the patriarchs of the Old Testament. And it is said that during that time, when Adam awoke, he actually sang this prayer called the Lahu Maran. It's actually a wonderful prayer.
What do you love? I mean, we're all part of the church, and that sometimes is confusion that they think, oh, if you're Latin Rite, you don't follow the Pope, and we do follow the Pope. And speaking of our prayers and me being Chaldean myself, I love listening to our prayers in Aramaic, even though I don't understand them fully because I'm not fluent in the language. There's something so powerful and so beautiful about listening to our prayers in the language Jesus Christ spoke.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, a lot of it, if you... So I read from the New Revised Standard Bible because that's the one that the Chaldean Rite uses. But, you know, a lot of that, if you translate it from the Aramaic to, you know, Latin or English or whatever it may be, you lose some of the meaning. Like just for example, like just the way when Jesus spoke to his disciples and he was praying and saying, I pray for all of you, but I pray specifically for you, Peter, that, you know, that you are not sifted like wheat. But in the Aramaic, the way it's said, it's a little different, and he's... If you read it in the Aramaic, it talks specifically and it shows you how he's specifically talking to Peter about that. So it's actually wonderful. But
yeah. Let me ask you this, because we are in the year of St. Joseph. Sean Ayar, he's the host of the podcast, The Right to be Catholic, which is on all the podcast platforms. It's produced by Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, known as ECRC. But we are in the year of St. Joseph, Sean, and you talk about, you've shared with us, my producer, that, you know, you try to live your life, you know, mimicking the life of St. Joseph. Can you expand on that for our listeners today?
Yeah, so I just recently finished the consecration to St. Joseph, and it was wonderful. I'll tell you something. I learned so much about this man. You know, growing up, we only knew that, you know, he was considered the silent saint. You didn't read too much about him. He was the guy who took Mary and Jesus around and protected them. But you learn so much about this man through the consecration of St. Joseph, and I really encourage everyone to do it. And as a man, right, as a father, the head of my house, you learn so much about how to be a true Catholic man through St. Joseph, just the sacrifices he did and his complete trust in Jesus and in Mary. And that's the way we should mimic our lives today.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I talked offline, too, as you were putting shows together. And I know a lot of, you know, the things that you see in this world are things that you want to pass on to your children, and that was part of what you wanted to do with the podcast too, is that, you know, as a father, this was important to you to share the faith to a broader audience to see that your children are seeing that you're living the faith. Can you expand on that as well?
Yeah, so, you know, I tell all my friends, you know, that I hang out with, my family members, people I talk to, you know, a lot of people nowadays, they think, okay, I'm sending my children to, if you are fortunate enough to send your children to like a private school, Catholic school, like, okay, they're getting their morality from that Catholic school, and that's enough. But I tell them, like, it's not enough. You know, you have to have a strong foundation. There's actually a Catholic prayer that talks about, you know, if your foundation is weak, when the storm comes, it will topple over your house. So I always try to teach my children, my wife and I always instill, you know, that good Catholic faith in them. And, you know, my kids are a little younger now, but I have nieces and nephews that I always tell you guys, it's okay to be persecuted. It's okay that, you know, people are going to talk about you when you talk about your faith, but be strong and know that this is the truth. And that's what I want to do for my children. I have two boys and a daughter, and I want to teach them to be that way and to be warriors for Christ and know that it's okay that the world is against you because God is with you.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Sean, you also have been very entrenched in the Catholic faith, even as a young boy, as a teenager in high school, going to Catholic high school and teaching catechism and volunteering at St. Thomas and being involved in the parish and leading retreats. So walk us through that. What inspired you at such a young age to get involved in the church?
So like anything, I always say that sometimes the Lord has to put you through the fire, you know, to cleanse you and then shape you the way he wants to shape you and
sure.
then make you what you want, what you're supposed to be. And I had that moment my junior year in high school. I went through a very dark time my junior year in high school, and there was a retreat there at the high school I went to, which was Brother Rice High School. And there was a gentleman that came up to our table and said, hey, guys, come on this retreat. It's called the Kairos Retreat. And that retreat changed my life. And I think at that moment when I did my confession, you know that feeling you get? And I said this on my podcast before where you have, like, heavy chains or something mm-hmm. heavy on your shoulders. And then when you release it, you have that breathable moment, like, ah, right? I had that moment, and I knew that God had forgiven me for my sin. And I vowed that day to make a change in my life. And true, did I stumble millions of times, right? But we all do. But I vowed to God that, you know, I was going to do what I could to preach this message and send what I know out to the world. And that's when I, you know, encouraged, at the time he was still just Father Frank. Now he's Bishop Francis, you know, a wonderful man. He's the bishop of our diocese. And, you know, him and I were talking about taking the retreat and bringing it to our Chaldean church. And I'm telling you something, it's been a wonderful thing. You know, you being involved in ECRC, you know this. We've had thousands and thousands of people that went through this retreat.
Yeah.
It's changed many people's lives, and all glory to God. He just used me as an instrument.
Mm-hmm. And you've kind of evolved over the years from all that volunteer work that you did going on Kairos and then being participating in the retreats, and now you're doing this podcast. You know, and you're right, it has changed so many lives. You know, how has it helped you on your faith journey, Sean, in terms of the work that you did and strengthen your faith when you see that the work that you're doing is changing others?
You know, it's a humbling experience. You try not to take credit. You're like, oh, I did this. And then you're like, wait a minute, I didn't do this.
Yeah.
God did this. He just
sure.
used me. And, you know, the devil always tries to get at you that way. And he tries to tell you, like, hey, you know, he puts that pride in you all the time. So I will tell you that the stronger my faith has become, the heavier my cross has become. But I realize that, you know, that's what Jesus wants for all of us, to carry our cross, to know that, you know, we have to make it up that road. And at the end, we will have the victory that Jesus had himself. So, you know, I thank God for my cross and anything that comes in my life. But I do know that being involved in church all the time, you know, in the faith and doing all these things like the retreats, just public, I love public speaking. And this podcast is just another way for me to do that. And my favorite topic is our faith. You know, so mm-hmm. this is just teaches you to say to yourself, you know, I need to be better. I need to grow my faith. I need to tell everybody about this because he himself said this, I call you all to a royal priesthood. So he tells mm-hmm. all to go out and preach the faith.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sean Ayar. He is part of ECRC, the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, and the host of the podcast, The Right to Be Catholic, on all podcast platforms. You can find it everywhere. Sean, we like to ask our guests here an epiphany about their own epiphany moments, and we have many over the years, and you shared a little bit about a dark time in your junior year, but what epiphany moment can you share with our listeners that you might have had over your faith journey, that kind of aha moment?
You know, like I said before, I love public speaking, and I had that aha moment saying to myself, you know, God has given you this gift. I love to talk, and anybody who, you know me, you know that. And I said to myself, right, use the gift he's given you, right? And I use the gift. So if I love talking and my favorite subject to talk about is the Catholic faith, why not use those gifts to do what he wants me to do, to preach his word? And I had that aha moment, like I said, after I graduated high school, and I said to myself, this is what he wants you to do. I'm not going to be famous. You know, I'm not going to go to Hollywood and be the famous guy. I wanted to, but thank God I did it nowadays with what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he uses all of us on how he knows what we're supposed to do, right? He used me in this way. And my aha moment came, like I said, in high school when I was, you know, forgiven. And I knew that God wanted me to do what he, you know, he gave me these gifts. So go do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. What, when you talk about putting each show together, and I know this past month here in April, you were talking with Ennis Kesto, who we've had on here on Epiphany, and he's also another host of The Salty Catholic. And you guys talked about the Catholic faith from like a cultural perspective and a spiritual perspective. Do you think that we, that Catholics in our faith have become too culturalized opposed to really what the faith is supposed to be?
Yeah, so that was actually the topic, you know, the theme of our topic, where a lot of Catholics nowadays, I don't care what rite you're from, you know, but mm-hmm. I've seen it a lot in our Chaldean rite, and I've seen it a lot of my Latin rite friends as well. They use the term, or they say the phrase, I was raised Catholic, so what are you now? You know what I mean? Just because you're, I know some, you know, you're still Catholic, right? Or they say like, oh, Easter, you know, what's Easter to you? Well, I go to church, and then I go to my parents' house, and then we eat this, and we hang out, and then I go home. Yeah, but that's not really Easter. Or, you know, they mold the Catholic faith to fit their lifestyle, not the other way around. And that was the topic of this most recent podcast.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a good point, because, you know, the secular world has secularized all of our Christian holidays, whether it be Christmas or Easter, you know. And it's been wonderful because the Catholic Church still ties in a lot of the traditions into the faith about, you know, eggs being rebirth, you know what I mean? And so, and trees giving
the
life.
Candy cane being, candy cane being the shepherd's staff,
Yeah, so there are ties to the faith, which is wonderful, and it's great that we're able to do that. But to your point, you know, we can't culturize our faith so much that we forget the meaning of our holidays and the fact that Easter is the holiest holiday for Christians everywhere. It is about the risen Christ. It is about him dying on the cross for us. And that we kind of forget that as Catholics, that we become so part of the culture that we forget the faith itself and what God, Jesus Christ, really left us.
Yeah, actually, you know, Easter in the Chaldean rite, we refer to it, if you don't mind, in Chaldean we call it Ezarabba, which means the big holiday, right? Which is true in all Catholicism. If Easter never happened, then nothing else matters. Right.
Yeah.
If Easter didn't happen, then Christmas would just be another baby born outside of the town where he was supposed to be born. But Easter made it so special. The resurrection of Christ. In the Chaldean rite for Lent, the way we celebrate Lent is a little different than the Latin rite, where ours is more of a joyful approach, and we look for that transformation in ourselves, the way Jesus transformed everything at his resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sean, we know that, you know, ECRC posts your podcast every month on their social media platforms on Facebook and on Instagram, and they put it out in their weekly newsletter when it comes out. You have a Facebook page. How could people reach you if they have topics they want to share with you or anything they want to engage with you? Do you want to private message you on Facebook? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, to all the listeners, I tell them this, if you want to ever hear a specific topic, I can do research on it. You can send it out. You can Facebook me whenever you want, private message me. I'm also on Instagram. My Instagram name is the same thing as my Facebook. It's just Sean Hayar, and that's spelled S-H-A-W-N and then A-Y-A-R. And I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Send me any message you want. You know what I mean? And I will be more than happy to tackle that topic.
And then, Sean, what other topics you were looking at for 2021? Any other topics you are thinking about doing?
You know, a lot of my topics come during the month, but I have been interested in talking to other Catholics of the other rites that we have, because there are over 23 Eastern rite faiths.
I know. Can you believe that?
In the Catholic Church. Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy? So there's the Latin rite, and then there's 24 other rites on the Eastern rite. So, I'm interested in talking to some of those and getting to know the differences in how they celebrate their faith. Because, again, that's just their tradition. It's their way that they worship Christ. And again, it's nothing different than what the Latin rite does or the Chaldean rite. It's just that those are their traditions.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong. It's just a cultural difference. It's
correct.
It comes from different cultures and different parts of the world. And so, yeah, Chaldeans are part of the Eastern rite. And I always tell people, we all follow the Pope. We're just part of a different rite and have different traditions. And I always tell people here, Sean, on Epiphany, if you have not gone to a Chaldean Mass and are English version of our Mass is worth going to because we still have very much Chaldean in it. And so to attend one of the Masses in our diocese to see what a Chaldean Mass is all about.
I always tell them, if you want to know what Jesus Christ spoke, you want to get a little taste of that, come to our 10 o'clock Mass or, you know, 12 o'clock, whatever it may be, and sit down and listen to how we worship in the same language that Jesus Christ spoke over 2,000 years ago. It's actually wonderful. It takes actually my breath away, the prayers that we use. There's actually a prayer that one of our earliest patriarchs of our church, they wrote. It's a Eucharistic prayer. And even Pope John Paul II himself said, this is one of the most ancient Eucharistic prayers that we have. It's actually a wonderful prayer we do at the beginning of our Mass.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I highly recommend you attend one. Sean Ayer, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany, host of The Right to Be Catholic, heard on all podcast platforms. Sean, thank you so much.
Thank you, Vanessa.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. You can find it on Spotify, Google, Apple. It is on all the podcast platforms. The Right to Be Catholic host, Sean Ayer, joining us here on Epiphany. And thank you to all of our guests who came on Epiphany here today. Thanks to Father Craig Guerra, Father David Pelican, talking about their newest podcast, Men of the Hearts. Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, mirroring the vocation of young men discerning in the priesthood. So great conversation with both of them. I hope people tune into that, and men thinking about the priesthood or people that you know who might be discerning the priesthood, to tune into that podcast and engage in their conversation. They're on their third episode of this new podcast that they're going to have one episode a month being released, and it's on all the podcast platforms, so you can find it there, Men of the Hearts. I also want to thank Dr. Ken Howell for joining us, co-author of Mysteries of the Altar, Daily Meditations on the Eucharist, and a really great conversation. What a great book. I hope you're able to pick that up. I love giving books as gifts. So when you hear authors on the show, I hope it prompts you to think of somebody to buy that book for. It does for me all the time. When I interview people or I hear a conversation on another show about a book that is released, I usually try to pick up 1, 2, 3, 4 copies, and I give them out as gifts all the time. I think it's a great gift for all kinds of occasions. Even if I have other gifts I'm giving somebody, I always throw in a book when I can, whenever the opportunity arises. So thanks, Dr. Ken Howell, for joining us. And David Strupa, Director of Business Development at St. Paul Street Evangelization and President of Bonfire Men's Group. You know, it's so wonderful to see all these men's groups popping up and these men's podcasts. And I think it's really important that there is a brotherhood and sisterhood out there. I mean, you know, we're all called to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's ways that men relate to each other differently than women, and women relate to each other differently than men. And sometimes you really need those groups of, you know, that brotherhood and that sisterhood, especially on your faith journey. And that's what I love about these men's groups that are popping up all over the country, all over Southeast Michigan and our listening area, and the diocese and the Archdiocese of Detroit and Lansing and Saginaw and the Chaldean Diocese. I think it's wonderful that all these different ministries are going on to reach different groups of people. And so the David Strupa has this Bonfire Men's Group, and of course Father Craig and Father David with their new podcast to reach men discerning the priesthood. So if you have if you know someone in your life, and your husband, your brother, your son, your nephew, who you might think would benefit from a men's ministry, I really encourage you to find one in your area and encourage them to join groups like that or listen to podcasts like that. I do that all the time with my husband. I'll be honest with you. I got him involved in ECRC's men's ministry with Jeff Kassab and Pilar Asaki and that whole group of guys, and he's gone to the retreats and all the podcasts the men in our community are producing as well. Sean Ayer, who you just heard here right here on Epiphany with his new podcast, The Right to Be Catholic. The men's ministry one that Jeff Kassab and Pilar Asaki do on Catholic Avengers, and then Ennis Kesto. And I really engage the men in my life, my husband, my brother-in-laws, my nephews. I've purchased tickets to retreats for them and just told them, hey, I bought this for you. I really hope you can go. One of the men's retreats, I literally purchased, like, I think 20 tickets and just passed them out to different men And they all went. They all went. All the men that I bought the ticket for, they all attended, and I thought that was awesome. So, you know, these are great ways to evangelize the faith, and I hope you do this on a regular basis. Really evangelize the faith by buying books for people, buying tickets to retreats for people. I mean, sometimes we all struggle figuring out how does God want us to share Him with other people. And maybe, you know, you're not called to be on the radio or write a blog or, you know, do vlogs or engage too much on social media. Maybe that's not part of your personality, and that's okay. But there are different ways to evangelize the faith. And another way is tune into our spring drive next week, starting on Monday. And you can engage and evangelize the faith by sharing our phone number and our website with your friends and family. Tune in and find ways to sponsor this ministry and everything that we do here on Ave Maria Radio. That's another way to evangelize the faith and bring others to Christ. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net anytime during the year and sponsor programs here. You can do a day sponsorship. You can do a monthly sponsorship. You can do a one-time donation, whatever works for you. And you can also, we'll have a phone number that we're going to be giving out all, every single day throughout the whole drive, that you can call in if that's better for you. So there's so many different ways you can donate. You can do it online. You can call in. We really encourage you to share that phone number and the website with your friends and family. AveMariaRadio.net. Now, another gift you can give somebody, and a way to evangelize the faith, you can buy a day sponsorship, which is a great way to honor somebody's birthday, anniversary, anniversary of their passing, a wedding anniversary, whatever it may, a work anniversary. Maybe you want to give somebody a gift for another milestone in their life. Maybe they started a new job. You want to congratulate them. Whatever it may be, that's another cool gift to give somebody that is different and unique. And, you know, they get to hear their name on the radio throughout the day in a commercial. So, and you can, you know, of course, get a copy of that and record that and share that with them. And, but that's another way to engage and evangelize the faith. So find different ways to give people gifts throughout the year that really relate to our faith and really bring people closer to Christ, whether it be through a book, a blog, a conversation, an interview here on Ave Maria Radio. That's your way to evangelize. If you heard something that you really loved, an interview with, whether with Teresa Tamio, Al Cresta, myself, any of the programming on the weekend, I share a lot of Father John Ricardo's all the time. I'm like, hey, you know, I heard this. I think it's great. You should listen to it. You go to our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net and find these past interviews and share them with your friends and family. We're all called, as Christians, to evangelize the faith. We are blessed with different charisms upon baptism by the Holy Spirit, blessed with these by the Holy Spirit, to use these charisms to bring others to Christ. We all could send an email out, put something on Facebook, tweet something, text somebody something, on the programs here. So we really hope you engage with us next week during our spring drive and help us keep this ministry alive. Again, it's AveMariaRadio.net. You can donate anytime throughout the year. And please tune in next week. Listen to the phone number. Call in. Donate. No amount is too small. We appreciate whatever you're able to spare, whether it be the price of a cup of coffee or you have really extra dollars in the hundreds or thousands, we'll take that as well. And we thank you for your support and sponsorship of Ave Maria Radio. As always, we remind our listeners to connect, to collaborate, and to communicate with your faith community. Thanks for tuning in.